All right, adrenergic receptors now. Adrenergic receptors, there's four of them. Alpha 1 is going to be located in your blood vessels, in your bladder, and in your eyes. So, where is it located? Bladder, blood vessels, and eyes. Kind of a strange distribution, but that's where they are. Now, in your eye, it causes mydriasis, which is dilation. So there's some vocabulary words you need to remember. Meiosis is constriction of the pupil. Mydriasis is dilation of the pupil. Now, in your blood vessels, alpha 1 receptors are going to cause vasoconstriction. What will that do to blood pressure? It'll make it go up. Now, if we inhibit alpha 1 receptors, what's going to happen to blood pressure? It's going to go down. Why? Because you're vasodilating. Now, in the male genitals, it's responsible for ejaculation. And in the bladder, neck, and prostate, it's responsible for contraction. Now, how many of you have ever had to pee in a cup? Now, how many of you ever had to pee in a cup while they watched you? Is it more difficult to go when you're being watched? Why is that? Because you start getting a little nervous. I can't perform in front of these people. And so what happens is you get sympathetic stimulation, and epinephrine stimulates your alpha 1 receptors and causes the bladder neck to constrict, which makes it harder to go to the bathroom. So we can actually treat prostate hypertrophy with drugs that make this relax, which would be alpha 1 blockers. All right, now alpha 2 is a very funky receptor. It's not located on the target cell, it's located on the presynaptic neuron. So it's located on the neuron that releases norepinephrine. And what it does is actually tells that neuron, hey, we've had enough, please stop releasing norepinephrine. So it's kind of an abnormal cell or abnormal receptor because it actually inhibits its own response. So even though it's part of the sympathetic system, it inhibits the nervous system. It inhibits the sympathetic system. It doesn't promote it. So it's kind of a strange bird. Now, beta 1 is located in your heart and your kidney. And your heart causes three things. Ooh, fun words. Yes, these three vocabulary words you must memorize. So you must memorize those three words. Now, I know you can all memorize words because you've all made it through fourth grade. In fourth grade, you had to take a vocabulary word and you had to write it 20 times. Then you had to use it in a sentence and you had to define it. Do you remember doing that? If you need to, do that with these three words, because they will be on every test for the rest of the semester. So, tropic means a drug that affects. So anytime you see the word tropic, drug that affects. So a neurotropic would affect?
Neurons.
Psychotropic would affect?
Psych.
Crazy people. Inotropic would affect contraction of the heart. So, it will make your heart pump
harder.
Chronotropic. What other words do we know that begin with chron?
Chronological.
Okay. So, means time. So, if we have a drug that affects time, that has to do with the heart rate, what do you think it's doing? Speeding it up. So, a positive, because the little up arrow, a positive chronotrope will increase heart rate. A negative chronotrope will decrease heart rate. And then the last one is dromotropic, and dromo in this case is affecting electrical conduction. Now, where does the electrical conduction begin in the heart? In the what? In the SA node. So what we're talking about is that conduction from the SA node through to the actual myocardial cells, that electrical conduction is being affected by dromotropic drugs. So what are our three words? Inotropic, contraction. Chronotropic, heart rate. Dromotropic, electrical conduction. All right, in the kidneys, beta 1 receptors will stimulate the release of renin. We'll talk a lot more about renin in the future. But ultimately, what does renin end up doing? Causes two major things to happen. Retain water and sodium and vasoconstriction. It doesn't do them directly, but it will do them through a series of other chemical reactions. So in the kidney, it will cause us to retain water and sodium and vasoconstrict. All right, now beta 2. Beta 2 receptors are kind of all over the place. We have them in our bronchi, and it causes bronchodilation. So what do you think we might use a drug that affects beta 2 to treat? Asthma. In the uterus, it causes relaxation of the uterus. So we use that to stop premature labor. In the arterioles, in the heart, lungs, and skeletal muscles, it causes vasodilation. Now, let me get this straight. What does alpha 1 cause in arteries?
Vasoconstriction.
Vasoconstriction. What does beta 2 cause in arteries?
Dilation.
Now, why the difference? Why does it cause constriction in one and dilation in another? Well, where is it causing the constriction? What particular places did we say?
The vessels.
Alpha 1 causes constriction in the and Alpha 1.
Bladder, blood vessels.
Okay, it's located in those places, but it causes constriction in which organs? Skin and visceral organs. All right. Now, imagine for a moment that you are being chased by a bear. Do you need to be digesting food at that moment in time? No. So it's going to shunt blood away from your gut, it's going to shunt blood away from your skin, and then it's going to put that in your heart, lungs, and skeletal muscles, because here you're getting vasodilation. All right. So what you're doing is you're shutting blood down from one area and opening it up, putting it into another area. Oh, that's also, alpha 1 is also why people become white when they get scared, because that sympathetic response hits. The blood drains out of their skin because of the alpha 1 activation. Now, beta 2 will cause glycogenolysis. What's that?
The production of glycogen. The lysing of glycogen.
Yeah. All right, so the lysing or the breaking of glycogen. So, what does glycogen break into?
Glucose.
So, what we're doing is we're taking the storage form, glycogen, and we're turning it into
glucose.
And then the last thing is that it enhances skeletal muscle contraction. This is why you read about people who were able to lift up a car and save their child who was trapped underneath it, and they're like 90 pounds soaking wet holding a brick.
I love your
That was a Chris Rock line, by the way, from back when he was still funny. So the point is, it makes people stronger. All right, dopamine receptors. Dopamine receptors are not really sympathetic or parasympathetic, but dopamine does affect some sympathetic receptors. So dopamine receptors are primarily in the central nervous system, but there's a few of them in the kidney, and if you give dopamine, it will cause to enhance renal perfusion. All right, here's a fun little chart for you to remember. So, epinephrine affects everything but dopamine. Norepinephrine affects everything except beta 2 and dopamine. And then dopamine affects So, the ones and dopamine. So, what affects dopamine receptors?
Dopamine.
Only dopamine. What affects alpha 1?
Everything.
Everything. What affects alpha 2? Epi and norepi. What affects beta 1?
Everything.
Everything. What affects beta 2? Only epi. All right. So let's talk about the life cycle of acetylcholine for a moment. It's synthesized in the presynaptic terminal from choline and acetyl coenzyme A, stored in the vesicles, released when you have an action potential, and then it binds to receptors on the postsynaptic neuron. Then it begins to dissociate, and then it's broken down by acetylcholinesterase, sometimes called cholinesterase for short. At that time, the choline is reabsorbed, and then turned into more acetylcholine. So, in picture form, we have acetylcoenzyme A and choline being put together to form acetylcholine. We put that inside of a vesicle, and then it gets released into the synaptic cleft. It binds to the receptor, and then it will dissociate, and there's another thing that they don't show you right here, which is acetylcholinesterase, which breaks it up into acetate and choline. Choline gets sucked back up into the cell and repeat until you die. Any questions about that? No, good. All right, norepinephrine. Norepinephrine is synthesized in the presynaptic terminals from a variety of precursors, too many to tell this time. Released it by the action potential, it binds to receptors, and then it's reuptaked by the presynaptic neuron, and it's either recycled or it's broken down by monoamine oxidase, MAO. Monoamine oxidase. So, that looks something like this. So a whole bunch of stuff finally makes up norepinephrine. Norepinephrine gets released, and it binds to your alpha and beta receptors. At the same time, it comes back up and binds to alpha 2 on this cell. What does the alpha 2 receptor tell this cell to do? Stop releasing it. So then, when this dissociates, it floats back up in here, gets reuptaken, and then it might get recycled, or it'll get broken down by MAO. So we have drugs called MAO inhibitors. What do you think they do? They inhibit MAO. And what does that cause to happen?
Increase more epinephrine.
So you get more epinephrine. All right, life cycle of epinephrine. In order to make epinephrine, you must first make
norepinephrine.
Then you turn the nor into epinephrine, and then you release it into the blood. Now, the only reason your adrenal glands secrete norepinephrine is because it's not that good a process of completely turning norepinephrine into epinephrine. So when your adrenal glands secrete norepinephrine, that's just a mistake. It's like spilling it on the ground when you're trying to fill up a bucket with a hose. Okay, so what it really wants to do is it just wants the epinephrine.